Hello everyone, I hope you're all doing great today and enjoyed these stories. Make sure you check out my Patreon in the description if you want early access to my videos and my podcasts in the description below. And the only social media I use is Instagram, and my Instagram, if I can remember it, is Insomniac Horror. I'll link it in the description. I have a quick message before the story starts, so if you want to go straight to the stories, there's timestamps for that below. So, if you're struggling in any way, and especially with your mental health, I know it can feel overwhelming sometimes and hard to think straight, but sometimes you just need to take a moment to calm down, rationalize, and focus on what you need to. Whether that's doing something to feel better, or just calming down a bit about a situation, I think it's really important to ground yourself sometimes, because I know your mind can run away and make things seem like they're much worse than they actually are. So if you calm down, I guarantee you'll realize things aren't actually that bad and it'll be okay. So I hope that can help someone, and I hope you enjoy these stories. Take care, I'll speak to you all soon. I'm someone who's not actually from America writing this, but my similarity is that my father was a ranger of sorts, or equivalent here. Now, I'm somebody who did something I didn't really admit to my dad originally. I used to love going exploring buildings and whatnot, and I'd always do this on my own, but sometimes with friends. I was pretty hesitant to tell my dad about it because I knew he would get really angry about it. I remembered him telling me stories about where he would get sent out to investigate abandoned buildings for homeless people, drug users, or God knows what, and you could see his frown on his beard, and he would just be really annoyed about it. But on the other hand, I was someone who loved to go exploring them, especially when I was young. Now, sometimes I would go with my friends and we'd actually camp out overnight in them, and there was one particular incident that was like no others. Now, I'm not somebody who really believes in the paranormal or any of them things, but let me tell you my story. Now, we set out into the forest to go and explore some abandoned industrial type buildings. I'm not sure whether they were housing for the workers of the old factories, but they looked really cool nonetheless. Now, one thing we knew is that we had to be really careful because of asbestos and whatnot, and most of us brought masks with us. Now, it was on and off snowing when we arrived at the place we liked to explore, and it kind of made the whole thing seem like it was out of a movie, so that was really cool. We go inside the first abandoned building, and we're careful to make sure there's no squatters or anybody who isn't meant to be there. We literally had to go building to building, room to room, just to make sure we're the only people there. We decide on a room that we're going to camp in and put all of our equipment down. Basically, the choice was made easy by the fact that this area actually has a door, and you can close it, and also we can escape to a balcony if we really needed to. Now, we ended up going outside for a few minutes after putting our gear down and eating some food and having a really good time. We ended up going onto the roof just to enjoy the views and have a smoke. I mean, there wasn't too much to see, but we just wanted to try and catch the sunlight just before it faded away into the darkness. I'm standing there having a cigarette, having a good time with my friends when I have a strange feeling like somebody's touching the back of my neck. I can't shake it and go to turn around to tell my friend to stop. And just off in the horizon, I captured the outline of a person staring at me. Now, they don't actually say anything at all, but I can just make out this person's very old and dressed in relatively dated clothing. It looks like they're wearing clothes from the 70s with the jumper and whatnot, but I think, oh, probably just a homeless person. I tell the others and say that I kind of want to go, but they're adamant that we should stay in there. I ended up putting out the cigarette and agreeing because I know they're probably not going to know what room we're actually in or not. So we end up going back into the room and we close the door up. We have a general tidy up and set off our sleeping bags and everything else that we need to camp in there. We ended up getting our small gas stove going and start making some more food again. We have lots of candles with us and I make sure I bring them because these are very important for heat. I light them one by one, and my god, that place got really hot. We've got all the windows closed inside the area that we're in, and you can really feel the heat. It's a good few degrees hotter where we are than outside, and this is important. But I know this will be an issue because when we wake up, the candles will have gone out, and so will the heat. So I make sure that I'm packed in with nice and warm clothes. I realize that one of the candles has went out, and I go to light it again. Just as I reach over, I can hear a rustling sound outside. I don't know what this is, but I go to investigate. I don't actually tell the others that I'm going because they're drinking a bit and they're not really bothered with what I'm doing. Now I look down into the darkness of the stairwell and decide this is not a good idea. I instead head up to the roof again to try and see what's around me. I get up onto there and I have a look round for the person I saw earlier, but nobody's there. Most likely this was just an animal that I heard. I ended up sitting there for a while, probably too close to the edge of the building to be considered safe, but I just want the peace for a few minutes. I'm here collecting my thoughts, and I hear one of my friends whisper to me, "Watch out for the animals, kid. You could lose your life if you're not careful here." I turn around to speak to my friend, and I realize nobody's there. I look to my right and quickly run over to the side of a block that's on top of the building. I say, "Hey, I know you're here," and stop mid-sentence as I realize I'm standing on the roof alone now. Now, I'm not entirely convinced or not whether I actually heard this or not, because maybe I was already a little paranoid expecting to hear something, but this was weird, and why was I addressed as kid? I was thoroughly freaked out, but I really don't want to scare my friends because I know if we come back at this time, my dad's gonna know something's up, and I'm probably gonna have to lose some of my expensive equipment here. So instead, I quickly go down. Now I have to go down about 5 or 6 stairs on the stairwell, and when I take my first few steps, I realize how cold it is and I really need to get in now. As I'm walking, I can hear my footsteps being traced behind me. Now, I was walking relatively quick, but I realized as I picked up the pace, the steps behind me also follow. Now, for a moment, it felt like I was in a nightmare where I'm on an endless stairwell being chased, but I didn't stop long enough to actually convince myself that this wasn't the case, and I just keep going. I'm not entirely sure whether it is my footsteps echoing or not, but they just seem slightly out of sync with me, if that makes sense. I eventually make it back, and funnily enough, my friends don't realize that I'm gone. They thought I'd just been sitting in the other room on my own, and I decided it's best not to say anything. Now, we still have the candles glowing as everybody starts to drift off to sleep, but of course, not me. I'm still pretty freaked out by what I saw and what I heard that day. My eyes are glued on the door. It didn't occur to me at the time, but we forgot to actually barricade the door, and it was almost half ajar. But I'm not joking, I was too scared to actually go and close it. I laid awake for another good 2 or 3 hours, half asleep, but just aware that something could happen when I hear a growling sound. Now, everything in my body was telling me this is some kind of demon and we need to watch out. But then I realized it was one of the most scary sounds you can hear out in the wilderness. It was the sound of a wolf. It sounds like it's close, maybe 1 or 2 floors below us. I very slowly and carefully get up, close the door, and push a chair up onto it, and I remain still. And I'm certain I can see the silhouette of something moving past the window. Now, it's a very inky silhouette, but I'm sure this was a wolf going past, slowly looking from room to room. I slowly edge my way backwards and call my friend Edgar, saying, "Edgar, Edgar, wake up, please. There's something wrong." And he slowly wakes up, saying, "What's wrong? Why is it so hot still?" He then says, "God, why'd you wake me up?" I say, "Stop, I think there's wolves." He suddenly darts up, realizing the danger. He quickly looks towards where I am and makes his way over, and we both see a dark, inky figure, roughly 3 feet high, come towards our door and sniffing sounds. This is then joined by another two or three, and we can hear growling sounds again. My friend decides to knock on the window to try and scare them off, and we can hear at least five or six of them growl and then start to bark, and of course our other friends wake up. God, I don't want to die like this, I tell my friend. He says stop, and I quickly go and grab a knife. My friend then goes to grab another weapon and everything else we can find to defend ourselves with. Now we quickly move all of the things we can to barricade the door in, and my friend considers calling out for help, but that's a problem. If we make that call, we're probably going to get arrested and put others' lives in danger. Maybe we should just wait it out, my friend says. We're exploring the options now. We can go across the balconies and balcony hop, but it's pretty stupid because if there's not any doors in the other areas we're going into, we're literally going to be going right into where the wolves are. I have another idea. I quickly take all of the food that I can find that we've stupidly left around and throw it as far across the other balconies as I can. I actually did a pretty good job at this, and I'm sure this must have distracted them. Relatively convinced that we're a bit more safe now, I go to barricade the door further when I realise that there's one of the wolves sitting there patiently waiting for us to come out. One of the problems with this is that they'll be extremely patient and they're a lot more intelligent than what people give them credit for. Now, even if we try and come back in the morning to exit through the same door, they're probably going to be waiting there nearby to come and get the food or us. Now, at this point, we don't know how hungry they are, and we know we're in grave danger now. Now, the decision we make is one that I hate. We can't risk escaping. We literally have to just hold put in here for as long as our supplies last. Now, we decide that we have to go to sleep, but one of us stays on guard. My friend Edgar volunteered to do it, waiting near the door with a knife, and I must have fell asleep for about an hour or so. When I wake up, he's still there, and luckily there's no signs of the dogs. Now, we get to the morning, and we have no idea whether they're still around or not. We decide that we should probably make it onto the roof, because we think maybe they're going to be too scared to actually follow us up there, and if we really need, we'll get good signal to call for help. Now, I'm not so sure if this is a good idea or not, because it effectively traps us up there. But if worse comes to worse, we can just about make the jump to the other building. Which I know now is very stupid, but we weren't necessarily thinking rationally during this situation. So, we decide that we have to go for this, just to try and get a vantage point. So, we pack up all of our things and leave the candles there because they've already burnt themselves out. I grab a knife and so do my buddies, and we're all ready to fight for the death. Edgar bravely opens the door slowly, and thankfully, there's no signs of any wolves around. We then take our absolute first steps onto the staircase, and we can hear a horrifying growl and bark coming from just below us. We all sprint immediately up the stairs. We're convinced that we're not going to make it. We kept on running and running until eventually we make it to the very top, and my friend Edgar quickly throws something onto the covering. We still have no idea what level them wolves are on, but they were definitely still there. So basically, we've now trapped ourselves onto the roofs with not many options. My other friend looks over the edge of the building and says he can just about make out some of the wolves. They seem to be circling around inside the building that we're in. He can just about make out some of their grey fur from where he is. Now, I think we should call for help again, but my friend says maybe we should make it on top of the roof, the next one over, and then we should be able to get back to relative safety, because we can climb down the fence where the wolves won't be able to follow us. Now, I'll admit it, this is a pretty good idea to be honest, but there is danger of death because if we fall, we're probably going to break our legs and we're going to be dinner for some stupid animals that won't leave us alone. But we are running low on supplies now, so what choice do we have? Now, I'm somebody who used to do some good running when I was younger, actually competing for my school, being very quick. But that was at least 12 years ago now, and I'm not really sure of my athletic abilities. But I decide that I should probably be brave because really it's my fault for not alerting the others sooner to the strange things that happened, and that I should really be the one to fix this. At least that's what I rationalize with. So, I quickly throw across my sleeping bag and other gear to the other side. Well, I guess there's no going back now. I decide to get quite a nice run up and trace the steps. I'm ready now. I take one foot in front of me and leap across. Thankfully, I make the jump. Now, the area that I land in is actually relatively solid, and I'm actually really glad about this. I ended up forgetting about the wolves now, and I'm followed by Edgar, who quickly traces my steps. It's then my other friend, who is a lot more hesitant because he's a bit heavier than us, and he's not sure whether the roof is going to hold up. We shout to him to just come on and get on with it, but he won't move. I'm actually quite annoyed now, because we have to move in case the wolves follow us up onto this roof and we can't barricade it like the other one. As a precaution, I ended up throwing some more food down below us near ground level. It actually bounces out of sight, so annoyingly, I can't see whether it's effective or not at actually attracting the wolves away from us. We keep on screaming for our other friend to come, and eventually he goes for it, and he just about makes it, and we have to help him up. We're all very relieved to quickly gather up our things. Edgar looks down, and he can see clearly that there's still wolves around, still in the building that we just come from. They actually tried to follow us up, and he can see through one of the windows that they're still trying to figure out a way to get onto the roof. We know they probably had menacing intent because they didn't bother getting their food that we threw down for them. Maybe they had young with them and they thought they were defending it, I don't know. We just know now that we have to move. Now, when we set off again, I can taste blood, and I realize it's from running so hard to actually make the jump, and I'm actually struggling to get my breath. We make sure that we have everything and we have to roof hop one more time, but luckily we make it across successfully now. The area that we move on to is actually relatively slippery, and we're walking across in this disgusting tar sludge, which is actually really sticky on our shoes. We continue moving and have to actually climb across another large balcony on the roof used for some kind of surveying. We make it up to the next stage, which is a really large chimney pipe from one of the factories. We have to kind of slowly shimmy around it. It's hard to describe, but we're like sidestepping, and I'm someone that doesn't mind heights, but I hate it when I'm up higher. Now my hands are sweating through my gloves, and I'm really struggling to hold on. The best I can do now is just not look down. We're at a point now where we have to take off our bags and slowly go down the ladder. Now, I'm too scared to do this, and strangely, my other friend, who's been a bit worried the whole time, volunteers to do it first. I think now he was probably doing it just because he knows it's a map to safety, but I'm glad he's offered. He starts climbing down the 40 or so steps and makes it to the bottom. We throw our bags down next to him, and luckily the roof doesn't give way. We all make it down safely, and now we're not far off where we need to be. There's one last fence we have to scale down, but to our horror, we realize that they have some anti-theft and whatever you call it, climbing paint all over this area, and there's spikes and things. This now means that we're not really with many options other than calling for help. We have a break again because we're sure we're away from the wolves, and I ended up spotting a break in the fence. There's an area that leads to trees and next to a main road that I'm sure we can make it to. We don't really have many other options, so we have to go for it. Now, there's no easy way down from where we are, but I realize that we can quite easily jump down without getting too hurt as long as we roll. I volunteer to go first. I look around to make sure there's no wolves or any other danger, and I go for it. I ended up sliding funnily because the ground was pretty wet from some snowfall, but I make it okay. I immediately jump to my feet and grab the knife just in case anything comes for us. I'm quickly followed by Edgar and my other friend. We took one moment to look at each other, me and Edgar, and we then sprint towards the fence. I slide down first and grab my bag through, followed by Edgar and my scared friend, and we've made it. The wolves are no longer going to be able to follow us here. It's too dangerous for them, and they're not going to get through the gap because obviously they can't lift it up. We're very elated that we've managed to make it out of there in one piece. While we're on the way home, I stop and say, "Hey, Edgar, have you seen my tent? I brought this with me in case of emergencies. It's a very small foldable one," and he says, "No. Oh no, I'm sure you've left it on the roof." I curse myself because I know my dad's gonna kill me because he bought that for me very recently and it wasn't cheap. Now, on the drive back, I can't stop thinking about what happened. None of us are talking, just in deep processing of the whole event. But one thing that really stands out to me is I have no idea who spoke to me on that roof or who the person was I saw opposite that time. I didn't really mention it to the others in full details. I knew they probably wouldn't believe me, but what was that? I'm not somebody who really believes in guardian angels or any of them types of things, but I don't know what else it could have been. I do know that situation could have ended horribly, and I'm glad to say that put an end to my urban exploring days. Now, my dad did end up being relatively annoyed at me for losing the tent, but he just asked how my trip was, thinking I went on a regular camping one, and he was just glad to see me. I was out camping with a cousin of mine, and I was asleep in my tent. In the middle of the night, I felt something touching and slithering on me. I ignored it at first, believing that I was still home and my brother was annoying me, but then I finally realized and woke up to see a giant caterpillar. It's still one of the scariest things of my life. When I was a teen, me and two friends went camping and woke up in the middle of the night to a knife scraping along the sides of the tent at around waist height. It went on for probably about a minute but felt like a lifetime and then stopped, and we wait for maybe an hour and left without packing. Later that week, we found out one of our friends that we hadn't invited had followed us, but we don't know if it was her. I was 10 or 15 miles into the backcountry wilderness with a friend on a multi-day backpacking trip. We were trout fishing for our supper on a small stream fairly close to the timberline. Seemingly out of nowhere, a game warden on a horseback materialized a few feet from where I stood. He dismounted, marched right up to me, and demands to have a look at the contents of my krill. It wasn't a problem, but it was very unnerving. The way that he apparently stalked us and snuck up on us. My friend and I weren't novices at being in the backcountry, so we're both a bit humbled at how this man had tried to ambush us, especially given the sharpness and the sparseness of the vegetation available to cover his approach. My heart was racing for quite a while after the encounter, and I vowed that I would get better at maintaining situational awareness. He was a good man, though. Turns out I did have a fish that was a bit outside the size limit due to my misunderstanding of the regulation of this particular stream. The game warden had advised me that I need to get the fish on the fire and eat it tonight. He would have been within the rights to cite me and confiscate my fishing rod and tackle, which would have really stunk. When I was in high school, my friends and I went out to a remote spot in the mountains to camp. Just to get there, you needed a pretty serious off-roader. It was about 30 miles up a super rough road. There were river crossings, huge boulders in the road, and tons of sand. Now, the road trip took us all day, and we don't see another person. No one passed us, and we didn't see anybody camping, nothing. At one point, one of my friends noted it looked like nobody had ever driven off on the road before, which was weird because this is in Colorado and the roads/trails are very popular. Something worth pointing out, this road led into a box canyon, which is basically nature's cul-de-sac. The road we're on was the only road in and the only one out. All around us are massive cliffs. And another thing, we're deep in the mountains, far from any cell service. On top of that, we're in a box canyon, when even if you're next to a city, you don't have service. All that said, we eventually find a spot and get set up. Every time we went camping, we play capture the flag. This isn't an exception, except we wait for it to get dark to start. Now, in the middle of the second round, me and one of my friends on my team hop up onto the road. It seemed like a good way to get around to the other flag. We walked down the road and began to see a glow coming towards us. Our first thought was that it's probably another 4x4 coming up, but we then realized it was a young woman holding up her phone looking for service. She was still at a distance, but she was panicky. She was rushing and stumbling at the same time, except she isn't drunk, it doesn't seem. We call out hello, but don't get a response. But it wasn't just that she ignored us, she looked like she didn't know we were there. You okay? Nothing. As she's passing us, we realize she's crying. You okay? She stumbles right past us, never showing a sign that she knows we're there. The whole time, just looking at her phone for service. Me and my friend are frozen. We watch her, still crying, shaking. She rounded a turn and disappeared. I yell out to everyone else to meet back at the camp. We do. I tell them what we saw, and I'm not proud to admit this, but we get scared. We said we'd stay in the camp that night, and in the morning we go look in. The first thing we do in the morning is decide that there must be some other people there that must know her. So we go down the end of the road and there's no signs of anyone. Then we decided to go to the entrance of the road and look for the woman and nothing. Now, we're not sure how we got into this position or how she did, but she doesn't look like a hiker. She has regular clothes on, as if she'd just gotten in from the canyon at the other side. We were pretty sure that we're the only ones that have driven down that road in a while, so nobody's dropped her off. And the whole time we saw her, she was holding up the phone looking for service. I don't know what happened to her, but it really scared me. Years ago, my girlfriend and I were teachers, and in June of each year, we would take a group of children camping. We had a 12-person tent set up on our site, which was right next to a small lake. The site included a picnic table and fire ring. Part of the trip was telling campfire stories about Jersey Devil, since the campground was located in an area where there had been many sightings over the years. The kids enjoyed being scared, and they couldn't wait to return the following year. This was around the fifth annual trip that we had taken up to that point, and nothing really happened. On the last night after the stories, when the kids were safely asleep, my girlfriend and I sat by the campfire in the beach chairs. We had just brought a new puppy, and she was tied to a tent on a long lead so she could run around a bit. Now, suddenly, the logs in the campfire collapsed, and the light dimmed considerably. Our propane torch that was on the picnic table dimmed at the same time. It became virtually pitch black, and that's when the dog starts to growl. She was right next to me, and every hair on the back of my neck was stood up as she stared into the darkness. Suddenly, from out of the water comes a large figure about 20 yards away. At first, I thought it was a person, but then it bent over and starts running on all fours. I could only see the outline of the thing, and the back end was higher than the front. It certainly wasn't a bear or dog or deer. It looked like something I've never seen before, and I was in no hurry to encounter it again. Now it trots away into the woods not far from our campsite. I jumped up and ran to my car and turned on the lights. The car lit up our campsite, but there was no sign of anything out of the ordinary. I tell my girlfriend to wake up the kids because we're leaving. She was a braver one and convinces me to stay, and we eventually calmed down and turned in for the night. I lay down by the tent, opening a large butter knife, and did not sleep until the sun came up. Nothing like this ever happened to me before or since, and I haven't been back camping there since the incident. My family moved from upstate New York to a small town near Bradenton, Florida. I moved with them. Their house is in a wildernessy neighborhood that hadn't existed there for too long. Native Americans used to occupy the land, from what we've heard. My room had a huge sliding glass door with no screens and was the only one in the house directly facing the view to the woods. Right when we moved in, I felt uneasy about being near the window, looking into the woods or having my blinds open. A few weeks after moving in, I started having what I think are night terrors. I would wake up screaming and think something was in my room trying to get me. I've never had this happen since, even as a child. It's freaky and unnerving for both me and my sleeping partner. I started hearing knocking on my window at night. Now at first I thought I was hearing things, but then I started getting really freaked out. I always ignored it and never went up to the window, looked inside or opened it. My partner never heard this. He was always asleep and brushed me off as just hearing things, but I was adamant and kept my window locked and always looked out there. I then started hearing my neighborhood / friend next door knocking on the window at night, whispering my name, asking if I'm up and if I want to come out and smoke with her. I always said no and go back to sleep, asking her about this, and she said that she was never doing that and that I'm just getting increasingly freaked out. I started feeling very alone and powerless, wondering if I was going crazy. Now on one night, I put a lucky protective crystal on my window for protection. Now, I didn't know exactly what it done for protection, but when I woke up, the crystal was in the same spot, broken in half, looking like lightning struck it. I saw dark figures in my room a couple of times, but nothing ever happened. I would only see them, and they would be gone, and it was always during the night time that I would actually see them when I was barely awake. I figured there were spirits in the home, so I did a couple of things to help mitigate that, like using salt, burning cheddar wood, and spraying holy water on the walls. Our back porch was screened in and had a nice place to sit outside. I meditated a couple of times out there and heard all the wildlife and creatures outside. Now sometimes the noises would stop and it would just be silent, like dead air. I would listen for anything and never hear anything except the occasional branch snapping. I would go inside after that. Now we had bobcats, raccoons, alligator and wild boar, so I think it's probably an animal. Luckily I moved back to upstate New York for personal and career reasons, so obviously nothing else happened for me. I visited my family around Halloween time about a year after moving. My sister and I stayed up watching Pet Sematary and started talking about creepy stuff. She turns to me and says, "Dad, did you say that you saw some kind of Slender Man thing in the woods?" And immediately, of course, I get really freaked out. I asked my dad about what he saw, and apparently there's a very tall creature, about 9 feet, I guess, which is extremely skinny, almost as black as a black tree, moving abnormally fast through the woods in broad daylight. He did have laser eye surgery not too long ago, which could have been it, but he's never seen anything like it before or since. Now this isn't my own experience, but my mom's, and the reason she didn't let any of my siblings and I go camping. She had gone camping with her friends sometime in the 80s. It was the first time she'd ever gone and didn't know exactly what to do with camping really. The way she describes it is that her friends had chosen the most isolated place in the woods they could find, and they were drinking and whatnot. After partying until 1 in the morning, they decided to go in for the night, and my mom woke up and heard some noises. She said she shook her friend up, and she also heard the noises, but wasn't as scared. Her friend just assured her it was an animal and to go back to sleep, and she did. The following morning, they woke up to see large boot prints circling around their tent and campfire. The footprints come from the woods and left in the same direction. They couldn't trace it further because of foliage. They packed up and left that day, even though they're supposed to be there for a week. Apparently, they weren't the only ones out there, and a few other people had similar incidents over the next 2 years in the same area, yet nobody ever got caught. Now, my grandpa and dad liked to go fishing and hunting a lot. Now, one night, they decided to spend the night on the river in the Appalachian Mountains. It was really late, and they said they heard these awful screams coming from the opposite side of the woods over the river, saying it was inhuman but not a mountain lion. My dad is a pretty good guy and has been out in the woods before and doesn't get scared easily, but in this moment he was frozen with fear until finally it stopped. He felt like whatever it was knew they were there and wasn't happy about it, and it will still give him goosebumps even if he just thinks about it now. So this happened back in 2006 or 7. Me and my family went to a park. We've gone there for probably about 20 years. Now, it's quite a big one too. But still, one day, we come across part of it where meadows usually continue, yet all of a sudden, a part of the forest was there. We were at first wondering what happened, then shrugged it off and went down, going towards it. Then went inside of it. It was pretty dark in there. For being an afternoon in the autumn, it's kind of weird. There was almost no wind. It was silent. There was a part where the light came through a bit. Now I looked around and looked on the ground, which is black. There's black soil and it just looks so surreal. Between most of the tree roots were old crimson red bricks. They all look pretty weathered, and the forest was at least from the looks of it 100 years old, if not more. Well, we come to the rather strange part. Where we're standing looking around, we're wondering why we've never seen this forest before, which isn't too big. Then it got strange, pretty dim, almost no wind, and stuffy. It was like something was in the air. All of us had goosebumps, and I heard a voice which told me, "Get out now, leave." I told them, and we went out of there as quick as we could. The next when we come by this place was probably a month later. Now we head over to the same area, and the forest is gone, literally like it was never there in the first place. The grass looks as though that there's no meadows, and that it's completely normal, like it truly never existed. To this day, me and my family wonder what actually happened. Now I was camping in the woods one weekend. When I got up in the morning, someone had made a cup of tea and partially drank it and left it next to my fire. I was solo camping, by the way. So let me describe how the woods are shaped. I was in the same woods that I've described before, the friendly woods. I talked about it in the past in other posts, but I need to share a bit about it. It's about half a mile long, with about 150 yards thick between some houses, and a not very busy road. Sometimes I feel like somebody's watching me there, but I've never had a weird experience until now. Anyway, I'll get into it. Over the last weekend, I wasn't in the forest, as I had some work to do, and was overall too busy to go out and spend some time alone in it. Last Monday, I walked into my little camp, and I find it trashed. A makeshift camp I made was wrenched apart. A neon signpost saying camp with my name was cast over 15 feet from the ground it stood in. The entire wall of the cabin was torn down, and some guidelines holding the tarp on the top of it were cut. There was no storm, which is really bizarre. Strange, I thought maybe some teenagers decided to do it. Now, the damage wasn't anything I couldn't fix. Today I was splitting some wood and carving into pieces for a game I play with some of my friends, and I took a break and text a friend of mine for a bit. We talk about the forest, and I tell him that the forest I was in was not scary, but I feel safe there. Just as I press send, about 50 feet behind me, hidden behind a hill, I hear a horrifying scream. Not a fox, I've heard those before, not a human, but more like a woman being murdered with a car screeching to a halt. But not either of those. I turned around and grabbed a knife off my belt. It was strange. Just as I tell my friend that I'm not afraid, I hear a scream. I went out to Mount Palmanar near San Diego with my girlfriend, two friends and their dog, a husky. One of my friends had seasonal jobs in National Park Service. He's very into the outdoors. He knew of a staging area that the utility company of the area had up there in case they needed to store equipment of any kind. To be honest though, I think the lot ultimately belongs to the Forest Service though, because they had a key to unlock the gate to the area so we could park our cars in there and camp for the night looking at the stars, enjoying each other's company. We leave to go up there on a Friday evening with the sun still up, and arrive there as it's getting dark. We use three cars to get there, so we park them in a triangle formation and set up the tents in the middle area. Once we got that set up, we have some food, a few drinks, and start checking out the stars. I had brought a high-powered laser pointer with me, which allowed us to specifically point out constellations in the sky. My friend in the park service utilizes a laser pointer and gives us some awesome 45-minute talk on various constellations in the sky. We're having a great time. At this point, my other friend's dog begins to act up. She only gets hostile with strangers, but the four of us had been recently accepted for her for quite a long time already, so this wasn't normal. We stopped and looked over towards what she's barking at, and we see a figure about 30 feet away in all dark clothes standing there. It was a man who seemed to be a bit over 6 feet tall, but he was wearing lots of clothing. I couldn't make out a face or anything else to identify about him. We were then taken by a complete surprise that there was another person around us, but we called out and said, "Hey, what are you doing up there?" He responded by saying that he's been given a lift by the sheriff up to the top of the mountain and some of the other rangers, and was spending the night up here since he didn't have a car to get all the way back up here. That sounds bizarre, as if a sheriff or ranger would actually do something like that. Now my park service friend slipped me a knife just in case, because we're all on edge at this point. I sit in front of my girlfriend and mention for her to get in the car, and we started to get our things together. My friend with the dog was doing the talking and bluffing us up to the point of saying we're in the military and the other's a firefighter, which was both not true. We're fairly built, but he was trying to give this stranger reasons not to try his luck on us. We were certain he was not some drifter who had miraculously made his way up, because it just doesn't make sense. He said to us if he could spend the night with our group, but we say no. He then said, "Can we have a blanket?" And we also declined. He said that he'll probably end up staying somewhere over there and points towards some brushes, maybe 50 feet or so off. We said okay, we'll be here and have a nice night, and he walks off. This was a time for all of us to discuss what we wanted to. In clear unison, we wanted to get the hell out of there. We all thought this stranger was completely lying. We started packing up our tents and other camping gear. My park service buddy wanted to go over to unlock the gate again, which was about 300 feet away. So it's me, my girlfriend, my buddy with the dog, and the dog. While he was unlocking the gate, the dog starts to act up again. She was huffing behind us again. We turned around and my friend shone a flashlight, and sure enough, here he is, approaching from an angle that certainly was different from the one he walked off in. He basically tried to sneak up from a different direction. My buddy caught him and spoke for a while, and I left our ring of cars and stood facing him. I honestly can't remember what my friend said at this point, because I thought that me and the dog were going to have to fight this guy off and stop him from doing whatever his intentions are. I have adrenaline pumping like never before. I was already doing whatever it took to protect my friends, but he ends up walking off again. We had another stretch of time to finish getting the remaining things together. At this point, it was getting things done as fast as possible. We were racing against the clock and an unknown evil. We didn't know what to do, but this man wanted to do something to us. I quickly jog over to my friend, who's in the process of going to the gate, opening it up, and we have another encounter. We've packed up everything, and I told him, go away ASAP. So we briskly walked back to the cars, fired them off and got out of the lot, closed the gate behind us, and we went to drive down for about 30 seconds or so to a closed general store, put into the parking lot and dial 911. My friend was talking to the police. We learned that no sheriff had given anybody a ride up the mountain tonight, and there's no rangers to confirm suspicious of the shady activity. The Olive said they'd send up whoever they had available to check it out, and that we should go. After that call, we did just that. We had to head down to the right to start working our way down the mountain on that road. We would pass underneath where we were set up at the staging area to camp. As we drove by that area, we saw a black car parked out in a turnout just below where we'd been earlier, and a man peering out the hood of the parked car towards us. There is a small amount of room for speculation, but who the hell else would have been there? It could only have been him. We ended up seeing that one of my friends got calls from the other two friends as they were driving down the mountain, confirming what they saw is the same as we did. It took us around 20 to 30 minutes to get down the mountain and park at a gas station next to a casino down here, but we hung out there for around an hour until it was 2 a.m. to relax and let our nerves settle. It was the most comforting time I've ever had to be in a populated area. Now, if we didn't have the dog to warn us, I don't know what kind of situation could have played out. None of us ever gone back there since, and just writing this again really makes my skin crawl. When I was a kid, like 12 or 13, I was camping with Ventures. They're kind of like Boy Scouts, but no parental supervision. We're in a huge national park, I mean a group of 7 of us, all about the same age of 12 to 15. We had a 4-night/5-day hike camp planned out, and the parents all knew our route and were expecting us back. All of us, despite being young, had multiple years of camping experience and been on between 3 or 15 camps. The trip started out pretty awesome. We made camp the first 2 nights at our desired sites, and it's beautiful out. And we got up to the typical fun that kids get up to. 3rd night, all 3 of our planned sites have people in them, and we end up setting up, maybe a little too close to a group of other campers. We set up our kitchen, make dinner, got a fire going, and then people started hanging out at our camp. Now, to re-explain our ages, the oldest is 15. Now, the group that's decided to mingle with us is early 20s or so, and it starts out really friendly. We're talking about camping and other things. We refuse the friendly offers to drink, and then the pushy ones get annoyed. And being as young as we are, we're less than tactful about asking to be left alone. Voices are raised, and they ended up leaving our sight. Then, we turned in for the night. I remembered hearing their drunken revelry as I fell asleep. At some point in the middle of the night, I woke up to screaming and noticed my tent is being violently shook. I grabbed my flashlight, shoeless and disorientated, and took in the chaos. At least 10 fully grown adults were in our camp, breaking our tents, throwing stuff around and screaming. It ended up devolving into a fight, with me and 3 of the boys I went in with getting beaten badly. I don't remember how much of the assault went on before it ended, but apparently When things were dying down, they were saying super creepy stuff and threatening the girls. We packed up and left before the sun rose and walked the first couple of hours by flashlights. They'd stolen most of our food, our Coleman stove, and a lot of our things, and some of the girls' clothes too, which is really weird. So at this point, we're in the middle of our hike and still had another day or so ahead of us, and we had further sleepless nights in the woods before making it back. Now this wasn't exactly creepy, but scared the life out of me. We were moving across the country from Massachusetts to the Midwest and ended up in one of the many dense forests in the Pennsylvania area to camp for the night. Anyways, we drove into the campground, which was a spiraling dirt road in the dark. We were camping in our 90s era pop-up camper and we're caring for our dog and cat who are there with us. Now we arrived to the actual campsite around 11 p.m. At first it started a light drizzle while we're setting up the camp. We luckily got the camper set up before it really dumps on us. It was the beginning of summer's wet season, where storms are often brutal, and brutal it was. Before we knew it, seemingly all the water in the world was upon us. Neither our pets or family of five actually were excited about the rain. Actually quite the opposite. And now there's thunder and lightning everywhere. Regardless, we're having fun with card games and such while the skies open up above. The storm seemed significantly worse driving up there and my anxiety increases. The thunder got louder and louder and lightning much closer. My father had an irrational fear of lightning and can't help worry. We began counting the miles using the thunder until the lightning was almost identically timed together. At this point, we're in the middle of the camper staying away from metal parts, which was currently being rocked by wind. The lightning becomes so frequent that we begin to have legitimate fears of being struck. All of a sudden, we smelled the strong odor of copper, and then the loudest thunder I've ever heard in my life, directly next to our flimsy shelter, splintering everything around it. After that, eventually the storm subsided, and we felt comfortable enough to go to sleep. In the morning, we left our camper to see severed tree limbs and discarded leaves, along with a tree not 10 feet from our camper that had been shattered. It's crazy how strong lightning is. I'm just glad we actually had the camper to take shelter in. I'm a long-haul truck driver, and I've seen plenty of supernatural stuff out on the interstate. Now, within the first few months of driving, IIRC was PA. My first couple years I was a night driver, so it was hard to see things sometimes. But the one in PA was me trying to follow a flatbedder who was hauling serious loads through the mountain. At one point, I started falling back because I can feel the van starting to lean. It wasn't long after I reached down to take a swig off my handy monster I had, and I look up, and there's a guy standing off the shoulder just outside the tree line wearing what appears to be some type of military uniform. It looked as though he's Revolutionary War era. He had a musket as well. As I approach, I can see him staring right at me. And then he starts walking back into the tree line, still looking at me. Before he manages to make it through the trees, he disappears, like literally vanishes into thin air. I had my windows down, and the air in the area gets real cold. After about a mile, it warmed up again, and I had a really sad feeling coming over me thereafter. Needless to say, I didn't stop for the rest of my trip. While driving in New Mexico, I've seen some things in the sky that I can't explain. Lights rapidly changing direction, taking off at blinding speeds, but no sound barriers being broken.
I've seen lights hovering over the desert several miles off the interstate. Then it suddenly takes off, and the light cuts out. Various shapes and sizes from what I can make out. I know military aircraft pretty well, and some of them better than others. And I know that there's no military aircraft that can do that. Conventional aircraft can't possibly either. The most vivid one would be at an off-ramp in New Mexico. I stopped to use the bathroom and decided to turn into a 15-minute break. As I'm stargazing, admiring how clear the stars are, I saw what looked like a formation of lights in the shape of a triangle lifting up off the desert floor, then taking off into the sky. It kept on gaining altitude until it disappeared. I looked down at my watch and noticed it's not ticking, so I pull out my phone and it's off. I turn my phone on, and according to my phone, it's been 5 minutes since my watch stopped. It felt like something out of a film. Kent, Texas is another one. There's an old Chevron station, I think. Seems like FedEx drivers like stuff in there in droves. I'm guessing it's a popular drop and hookup point for them or something. But one day I needed the bathroom, so I had to stop. I don't know why I didn't stop in the Van Horn, so I pull off and roll up to an empty parking lot across the street. Kent is an abandoned town. I walk up to the bush line and notice a makeshift fire pit. The wood is somewhat burnt, but not all the way. The weird thing is that there's an unscratched dollar bill stuck in the wood. For a second, I was like, "Ooh, I think that's candy." But then this feeling suddenly come over me, so I left it alone, peed in the bush, and as I'm walking back, I look over and get a real negative feeling. I look to the ground in front of me, and bam, there's a rattlesnake, literally 2 feet from me. I stop dead in my tracks. It starts hissing at me and goes to lunge, but luckily hits a twig. I run as fast as I can back to my truck, feeling like someone's behind me. I kick up a lot of dust getting after there, and have never stopped in Kent since. In Missouri, I stopped off at a ramp to stretch out and take a breather. As I'm smoking a cigarette, a little girl from some direction I couldn't figure out where giggles and says, "Hi." "Hi, mister." My initial reaction was, "What's a kid doing out here at this time?" So I walk back and say, "Hi." She responds with, "My mum says you'll be okay. Don't worry." Now, utterly confused, I ask her what she means, and she doesn't reply. Then suddenly, I feel like someone's standing next to me, but it doesn't feel negative or bad, just as though someone's right there with me. Since it didn't have a negative vibe to it, I just finished my cigarette and left. Later on down the road, I realized that I forgot to fuel up at my last stop when the warning light came on, so I scrambled to look at my GPS and find the nearest stop. I find one and set the course. As I roll into the truck stop, my truck starts stuttering, and I barely make it to the fuel line before the truck dies. It wasn't until fueling up that I realized what had happened to me at the last truck stop, and it was terrifying. I've seen drivers duke it out on some fuel lines many times. I've seen brawls happen in the back of truck stops. Many rookies hitting each other's trucks by accident, you name it. The most memorable moment, however, was a fight when I was on a trip with a co-driver whose name I won't say. In Arizona, I stop at a truck stop between Flag State and the CA state line. After an eternity, I finally get fueled up on the fuel line. I fuel up and go inside, getting a drink and food. I come back and the sleeper curtain is open. No co-driver. Lonely half hour goes by and he comes out. That's cool. He can take his time because I'm not gonna stop from here out. I put some trash in a couple of bags, putting it on the floor. It was mostly his trash from his shift prior. I can't stand having any in the cab. He opens the door and dumps bags on the ground, so I lit him up with all the fury I can muster. There's two garbage cans 10 feet away. I go put the bags in the trash cans and come back to the truck. As I'm doing my logbook, I look up and glance in the mirror. I can see two drivers flapping wings at each other. Oh, a fight. Let's watch. Suddenly, they go like baboons, fists flying, but they're not landing. Then one of the drivers picks up the trash can and throws it at the other driver. The can hits him square in the face and blows open with paper towels going everywhere. Just like WWE, apparently. So I get out and start walking back to watch. And apparently, every other driver on the fuel line had the same idea. The driver who got trash canned reaches into the storage compartment near him, pulling out a huge chain with a padlock on it, swinging furiously, and he's coming back and forth to the truck where the trash canner is. The other guy takes out the pump, going to his driver's side window, knocks a mirror off his truck, puts a huge dent in his fender. He then makes it back to the trash canner. The guy runs around the other side of the fuel pump. He then starts beating him with a bottle. All this does is gets him wet and pisses him off even more now. Enough time rolls by, but they realize neither weapon of choice is doing any good. And in one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, they both stop, bear hug each other, then walk off. I walk inside to tell the lady there's a fire in the fuel line and she breaks out some kind of stick to break it up. But they're all good now. It's honestly the weirdest thing that I've ever seen.